This week we continue to hear the theme that we are called to persevere. Persevere in following the call that God has made upon our lives. Persevere with the help of the Holy Spirit. And you may be thinking to yourselves, didn't we hear this theme last week too? This call to endurance, to keep going, to continue? And I would say yes. And there's a reason for that, because we still need to hear it. We need to continuously be reminded of our need to endure, to persist in our faith and in following God's call. In our first reading and in our gospel reading, we hear about what this call looks like. God invites us to share God's perspective in the world, to work to bring about healing, redemption, and restoration. In short, to join God in what God is at work doing. Hear this for the people of Israel, as God tells them that they are God's treasured possession, that they are to be a holy nation, demonstrating what it looks like for a kingdom to live in the light of God's love. Jesus shares this same call with the disciples that tells them about this kingdom of heaven coming near, and that they are to go and proclaim that kingdom into the world. And they are to work to bring about healing and restoration to others, just as Christ has been doing. But we also will recognize that there are things we find challenging in adhering to this call that God has made upon us. There are things that cause us to desist from persevering in all that God has spoken. Some of these are internal pressures, and some of them are external pressures. I think the internal pressures can be seen by the ways in which we struggle ourselves to follow God's law well. God lays out for the people of Israel, as he's getting ready to do, a covenant that is rooted in commandments that they will receive at Sinai, that they are given clear instructions about what it means to live as God's people. And as we know, they will fall short. Just as we heard last week, the adherents of the law can't always live up to the law. We have guilt before the law more often than not. This law reveals our shortcomings, our transgressions. And that internal pressure then from recognizing how we have fallen short, I think can cause us to pull back from following the call God has given to us. We can feel like we have gone too far astray, that we aren't worthy enough, that we aren't good enough, whatever words we will choose to use to put ourselves down and to take ourselves out of following God's commands, that becomes a challenge for us internally. Of course, we also have this external pressures that we hear about from Jesus and from Paul today. Now, a lot of times I think we would want to believe that if we're following God appropriately and doing what we're supposed to do, it should all work out. Things should go easy for us. Our lives should open up. And people should, by and large, treat us well. We're doing what we're supposed to do. We're following God. And yet, we hear that there will actually be times of affliction, times of difficulty and challenge because of our faith, because we are following God. And Jesus says to the disciples, I'm sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. He makes it clear that they are going to encounter pushback, that not everyone is going to accept their message, that they'll be dragged before governors and kings, and they will even be at odds with their family members. This is a challenging thing to hear. We don't want to face such external pressures for following God. And when we do, we can find ourselves shying away from maintaining that perspective. We don't want to be dragged before governors and kings. We don't want to be at odds with our family members. We want things to work out easily and well for us instead. This is not what is to occur. So that, I think, can become a pressure that leads us away from maintaining our willingness to engage in God's call. There's also another external pressure that can come, I think, from encountering this pushback. And that is that we likely would want to push back as well. That if we are sharing the good news that the kingdom of heaven has come near, if we are offering healing and restoration and doing all that we can to bind others up, to care for others with the love of God that God has shared with us, we can become frustrated when such care is rejected. We can become frustrated if people would reject us and push us out. So in such moments, I think we could also desist from the call that we were given. And instead, we could say, you know what, Lord, I'm tired of sharing your perspective of grace, of mercy, of love. I'm tired of working for healing and restoration for this world that keeps working back against me and against you. I'm tired of holding the larger perspective and offering the words of forgiveness and turning the other cheek. All of that feels exhausting. I want to just give it back to them with the same measure that they gave it to me. I just want to throw it in their face and walk away and be done. Because we can get tired and beat down from all these things, from all these rejections. And then we hear this call to persevere. I think this is where Paul's notion comes in, that we aren't to give in to the feelings of unrest, of uneasiness. We aren't to give in to these afflictions and to lash out at others over them. No, we are to persist in proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven has come near. And somehow we are to hear that that will produce endurance and character and hope. But as we keep experiencing letdowns, as people keep not behaving the way we wish they would, even as ourselves aren't behaving the way we wish we would, we can find our hope flagging, can find it all the more difficult to follow the command and the call that God has given to us. And in light of this truth, we may begin to wonder, why does God give us such a call? Why does God call such flawed individuals and people into this service? The short answer is, I don't know. But our readings demonstrate today that this is exactly what God wants to do. God keeps reaching out in hope toward us and towards us to say, I believe in you. You can participate with me in the work that I am doing. This is what the people of Israel get to hear in the law and the covenant that God makes. There is this bold invitation that says, come and participate in the life that I would have you to know. Come and participate in the love that would bear fruit in this world by performing these actions. And God knows when God does this, that the people are going to fall short, that they aren't going to be able to keep the law perfectly, that they will not be faithful to the covenant. Yet God makes it with them anyway. And God says they are God's treasured possession. They are a holy nation that will live out their vocation in ways that will help the world hear that God is present. And so that even though they fall short, God still gives them this task. I think this is the same thing we see Jesus doing for the disciples today too. Disciples also aren't perfect, but Jesus has such hope in them. Jesus says, you will be laborers that enter into God's harvest. You will do the same things I am doing. You will make the same proclamation that the kingdom of heaven has come near. You will do the same activities of healing and restoration. Jesus shares with them the authority to make the sick well, to drive out the unclean spirits, and even to raise the dead to life. He says, I want you to be able to do all these things, to participate in the ministry to which I am called, and to know that, yes, you can be a part of it too. Yes, you'll experience pushback. Yes, there'll be difficulties, but you can be a part of this. And this is how we see God interacting with us over and over and over again, that though we have fallen short, though we are not living out the call that God has given to us as well as we should, God still has hope in us. God still gives us chances and invitations to participate in what God is doing in this world and the redemption and restoration that God would offer. This is truly amazing. And it is this grace of God, I think Paul says, is what allows us to endure in our calls. It is not just our willpower and our desire to do so. It is not just this mechanistic process of experiencing affliction to then endure and then get some character and then get some hope. No, there is a reason that those verses, I believe, are sandwiched by statements of God's unbelievable grace. Just prior to this passage of affliction, we hear about the grace that allows us to stand in God's presence that is offered to us through Jesus Christ. And afterwards, we hear about how while we were weak and sinners, Christ died for us. These two statements that affirm the same truth of who God is and God's work on our behalf and the grace, mercy, and love that Jesus has shared with us are what allows us to endure in our calls. Jesus doesn't pick us because we get it right. Jesus doesn't pick us because we are perfect. Christ does this out of pure love and grace, that we may know the good news that the kingdom of heaven has drawn near for us, and that Christ has brought us from death to life to stand in God's presence forever. It is this awareness, then, that allows us to endure any and all hardship, affliction, and pushback. It is knowing with absolute certainty who Christ is and what God has done for us that helps pick us back up when we have fallen short, when we have given up and thrown up our hands, when we say the callous word instead of God's perspective. And so Jesus reminds us that God is still giving us all that we need. Which is why we never needed to take along that extra bag or cloak or food. God will provide. God will provide the words we will say in these moments that our own words will fall short. We can rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to intercede for us and for those around us, that the word of God may continue to be proclaimed. And this then is what Jesus shares with the disciples as they head out. Freely you have received, freely give. You know my grace for you. Share that grace with others. You know that you do not deserve this gift. Share that gift with others who do not deserve it. I think this is the call of perseverance and endurance that we see in these passages. Jesus is clear. We may not always be called to persevere and endure in a certain place or with a certain people, that there are times we will make known the good news that the kingdom of heaven has drawn near, and we will offer healing and restoration, and the people will throw us out. They will reject this message. If this occurs, we can pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and press on. But we keep proclaiming that message. We must make it known that the kingdom of heaven has come near. And part of that proclamation is to speak the good news of God's grace that says even those who would throw us out, they too are invited to know the gift of grace and love revealed through Jesus Christ. That we would have hope that when the Son of Man comes, they would say, ah, now we understand. We will believe and trust in this one who has compassion upon us. Yes, dear brothers and sisters, we persevere in hope, even for those who stand against us. Because we know that just as our own hope does not disappoint, because the love of God is poured into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, we know that the hope for them does not disappoint, for that same love can be poured into their hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the vision of hope that I think is to be ultimately cultivated here, is a hope for ourselves and for this whole world, thanks to what God has done and to the love that is made known to us. Get a glimpse of that hope fulfilled in this meal that we share, where Christ draws near to us in this bread and wine and body and blood. Christ Christ continues to have compassion upon us, continues to draw near to us who are like sheep without a shepherd, saying, I am the good shepherd. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Come and follow me. As we do, we know a gift of grace, of mercy, of love, far beyond anything we could ever express or comprehend. And we are strengthened and nourished through this meal to offer such love and grace to this world around us, to celebrate and share this love of Christ freely in the same way that we have received it freely. And as we do, I think we begin to recognize the way in which Christ is already drawing us all together into this one kingdom of heaven, that God is still at work, binding us up, redeeming and restoring us, healing our sin-sick souls, that we would not reject this message, but may come together with cries of joy for what God has done in Christ. And as we see this picture a little more clearly, as we recognize God's work and God's love a little more fully, all we can say in response is thanks be to God. Amen.